Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 5 o'clock.
Come on. Thank you all for being here. And for all of you tuning in across the country.
This is Primetime on Draft Week.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Celebrating 35 years of fitness with a party on Tuesday, April 30th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Aloha, Beaverton, Division Center, and Vancouver Plaza.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
That's a tribute to you.
The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice, juicy little Thursday. It's Rob Isachi. That's me.
Asad.
Big Suk's right over there.
We're right here.
Your sports bros. And we have Andrew Nemec in with us today.
Our draft monger, if you will.
Yes. Our draft monger.
I'm trying to bring back monger because it's got such a negative term, and it's really not. It's just like someone that deals or trades in something, and Nemec's over here gambling on the NFL draft left and right. He's our draft monger.
In a baby chair.
Yes.
So he'll be with us today and tomorrow. And by the way, nobody cares about this, but I feel really insecure about my Tarleton State take. So I would like to state that Suk was wrong. Grand Canyon and Tarleton State are in the same conference. They're in the WAC.
Yes.
And
how'd they do in the NCAA tournament?
They were the, while I was wrong about that small fact, they were tournament adjacent because not only both purple and white, they were the top two teams in that league.
Allow me
to
say,
so it was easier for me to get them mixed up than you thought.
That I was not wrong.
How about that?
Because when I looked up Tarleton State, I looked up their football program, and they are not in the same category as Grand Canyon. They're in the WAC no longer plays football. So Tarleton State is in a different conference for football because the WAC no longer plays
what
football.
What percentage of our audience knew that the WAC doesn't play football?
I was a former member of the Western Athletic Conference, and I didn't know that. And for God's sakes,
did you know that,
Nemec?
Don't lie.
Yes,
you didn't know that.
Oh, I for sure knew that. Yes,
he's lying.
No, I said it. You started talking about the WAC, and I was like, they're not a conference anymore. And then you looked it up for football.
No, whatever.
They are a conference for basketball.
For football,
I didn't hear that.
It's already getting testy.
It is. Well, he's in his little boy chair over there. He's over here bringing in. He has man bun. He's bringing hot takes.
Well, you've come up with draft monger, the text line, because of the chair called him draft gnome.
I love it.
Little draft gnome.
That's good.
So cute.
What does the gnome think?
Well, let me tell you.
All right, so we're going to get some draft. We're going to get all draft here. We're going to get super drafty shortly, but let's get the hot 5 at 5 in.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Suk. Brought to you on The Fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com.
Number 5.
Number 5.
Wide receiver A.J. Brown gets an extension with the Philadelphia Eagles. 3 years, $96 million. He will get $84 million guaranteed.
Hey-o!
Yikes.
And he's earned that.
A lot of dough.
When Tennessee didn't want to pay him, Philly said, we'll pay him. And A.J. Brown has been great. And now they have two of the highest paid receivers. Because Smith got the bag just a couple weeks ago.
And Mr. Nemec, that probably means your boy, Brandon Ayuk, or possibly Deebo Samuel, on the move today.
Yeah, Deebo being gone would not be the end of the world Ayuk, I might get up and walk out. Yeah. Was there a more angry person than Coach Vrabel when they traded AJ Brown? Not only did they show him when that happened and he just looked irate, but then they also interviewed him and he could barely contain himself from saying, I hate my GM.
Good thing they drafted Treylon Burks, who, oh wait, he sucks.
Number four.
Mariners and Rangers rubber match today in Texas. The M's win it. Got a couple of home runs. Luis Urias and Ty France both hit two-run home runs. Mariners win 4-3. They take the series and retain sole possession of first place in the American League West. And at this point, it's probably over.
Although we looked it up, their magic number, they still don't control their own destiny. But I think 131 to get into the wild card, so feeling pretty good.
The crappy-ass Rockies beat the Padres today 10-9. Dodgers over the Nationals 2-1. Royals beat the Blue Jays in a rain-shortened game 2-1. And how about the White Sox? They are now
3-22.
3-22. They lost again.
1-13 away from their stadium, which is not going to be around much longer.
And the Astros lost again. Cubs beat them 3-1.
They're 7-19.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. They're all kinds of bad.
Number three.
The Seattle Kraken have parted ways with their TV partner. Pay attention, Blazer fans. Mm-hmm. Root Sports.
Yeah, because no one can see the damn games.
Instead, they are going to produce their own free broadcasts on King and Kong in Seattle.
King and Kong?
Yeah, well, they have King TV they have Kong TV.
Oh,
do they really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Owned by the same company.
Yeah, King 5, right?
Yeah. And then KGW is the affiliate in Portland, so Kraken Games will be on KGW next year.
Tasty.
And then there's KREM in Spokane. All 70 non-nationally televised games will be on those channels.
Broadcast TV.
Correct. And then, but the Kraken also signed a streaming deal with Amazon Prime, so all their games will be streaming on Prime if you are not in one of those cities.
Portland Trailblazers. Here you go.
How about that?
I understand it's less money, but here you go. You want people to watch your games? This is how to do it.
How in the world are we existing in this day and age, and it is hard to watch the Blazers, and it is hard to watch the Ducks and Beavers?
Hallelujah.
That is so crazy.
It's nuts.
Well, and more, yeah, you know, this is like what the Suns did, right? And now you're seeing the Kraken do this. Maybe more people are coming around to the idea of these local TV deals. They're a disaster. They're not that much money, and it kills your fan base. This is good.
T-Wolves' Naz Reid wins NBA Sixth Man of the Year, narrowly edging out Sacramento's Malik Monk. That's the closest vote ever for Sixth Man of the Year. We've got three playoff games tonight, a couple of games in progress. The Cavaliers are getting waxed by My Magic, 61-43 nearing the half in Orlando, and Knicks and Sixers just underway in Philly. Of course, New York leading that series 2-0. It is tied early on. Nuggets-Lakers will be the nightcap. Nuggets leading 2-0. By the way, the Denver has rallied from 15 or more down at half in two of the last three playoff meetings with the Lakers.
Oh my gosh, we have our first surprise.
Marshall Mathers.
I love that they were booing Goodell, and so like this is when Goodell brings out the military so they can't boo him. Like everyone hates Goodell, and then they bring out Eminem, and now the Detroit people can't boo because it's Eminem. Let's
do it. I like that Eminem's basically in sweatpants.
Eminem, he can do whatever he wants.
For sure. That's basically he.
That's what he
did. Yeah, he is in sweatpants. And they aren't even tied up. Like,
and the Jordan 3s.
Yeah. The string
that are probably his own brand of Jordan 3s that are worth more than your car.
Boy, that guy gives zero Fs, and I love it.
I love Eminem.
All right, we're going to take a break. Number one is, of course, the 2024 NFL Draft. They are about to get underway. When we come back, you will hear the picks live as they happen, and we'll have analysis with our draft gnome, Andrew Nemec. The Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victorricos.com. Live NFL draft coverage is next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we've cleared the decks. We interviewed Scott Barnes. We've goofed off. We did in the news. We did the Hot 5 at 5.
Tarleton State basketball and football.
It is now time for nothing but wall-to-wall NFL draft coverage here on The Fan.
The Bears are on the clock, and they apparently are going to take the entire time, which is just so stupid.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. That's what they said. So, I don't know.
7 minutes, then.
Yeah, we got 7 minutes. 7.5 minutes to tell Caleb Williams. So far, we've seen Roger Goodell booed, Eminem coming out as the ultimate human shield, the crowd goes nuts, and then they brought out all the Lion greats, including Barry Sanders, who now looks like he teaches high school math and sells remanded furniture on the weekend.
So for our draft gnome, we have a moment here to ask a few pressing questions. One would be, do you think we're going to get the first ever draft where we have four quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3, 4?
No.
You don't? So you think, so let's see, Patriots, you're thinking
Patriots
May.
Will take May.
And then what will Arizona do?
I don't know.
Why not?
Because I'm not a savant.
What are you doing here?
I do think Marvin Harrison Jr. is likely going to be the pick. It wouldn't totally floor me if they went Neighbors or Odunze. I don't think the gap is as significant as most people think. That said, Marvin Harrison Jr. is very, very good. Those three receivers would be the number one receiver in almost any draft. So it's a great year to get an offensive tackle. It's a great year to get a receiver. And if you're picking in the top three, looks like it's a pretty good year to get a quarterback.
So do we now think that you're a Niner fan, Ayuk will get traded?
I can't imagine you do that. I think they'll trade Debo.
Why?
Because Ayuk is a 26-year-old ascending player who doesn't need to be in a specific scheme where he's handed the ball as a running back. And you don't have to build a game plan around him for him to be productive. Debo, you kind of do. And Debo's hurt. Buck and I were talking about this off the air. It feels like Debo's hurt about 40% of the time. Whether that's like he's not able to play at all or he seems dinged up and not right. He's 28 years old. You can get off that number, and I think you save like $7 million this year, $9 million next year. That's not a ton, but you can replace him with a mid-second-round pick that potentially gives you, over the course of 16 games, the production that he gives you in the 7.5 games he's healthy.
Especially in a deep receiver draft where, you know, in the late first round, you know, into that second round, you're going to have some players, you know, with Troy Franklin is someone that I don't think he's going to go in the first. They could be there in the second. You can get a lot of value in the second round with a receiver that you no longer need a receiver one because you're pairing him alongside a true receiver one, an ascending Ayuk.
By the way, I have to announce, because every year I think there are some listeners that really only care about what drop we're going to play to signify that we need to shut up and go to the podium. This year we've chosen our friend and compatriot here at The Fan, Jason Swigart. So you will hear this.
Hold on, everybody.
Sorry, I didn't know you were playing it too.
Well, we double played.
It's a tasty echo right there. Maybe we stick with it, boys.
Hold on, everybody.
You'll hear that, and we all need to shut up and go to the podium.
Yeah.
What is that from?
That's his call when the lady pilots beat Gonzaga to go to the dance.
Oh, wow.
It's over, we think.
We love him.
Here's the situation.
They had to put time back on the clock in the WCC championship game.
Yeah. It was a good call. All right. First defensive player off the board.
That's a really, really tricky one. We could go a lot of different directions there.
And in what number? Do you think it ends up being 9, 10?
So the record is 8 in a row.
8, yeah.
No one's there's never been 9 picks in a row that were offense to start a draft. But that's a big question. It could be Leiatu Latu, UCLA edge rusher. He's very, very polished, but he's not an elite athlete. It could be the elite athlete who's not very polished as an edge rusher in Dallas Turner from Alabama. It could be Jared Verse, who's your big physical edge rusher but not real bendy. It could be Quinyon Mitchell. It could be Terrion Arnold, two of the best cornerbacks in this draft. It could be Byron Murphy II, the nose tackle, defensive tackle out of Texas.
I can't remember.
I think it's going to be close, and I don't know who's going to go.
I can't remember a draft where there has been this much uncertainty, not just at which defensive player is going first, but at which position. I mean, you think about it, there's no consensus edge rusher. There is a consensus D lineman, and that's Murphy, because there really isn't a lot of deep ones. But I don't think there's consensus on the inside linebackers, not a consensus on the edge rusher, and there's not a consensus on corner. So it's really unlike the offensive side of the ball, where it does feel like there's a pretty clear pecking order. The defensive side of the ball, it's kind of a dealer's choice at most positions outside of defensive tackle.
And there's a lot of – this is an interesting draft for scheme fit. Once we get out of the elite 15 to 20 guys, the gap between player number 25 and number 65 is razor thin. Christian Haynes, some people have, is like the 65th best prospect. He's an elite zone-blocking guard. Some people have him as the number one guard in this draft. Other people say he'd be undraftable for certain schemes.
Hold on, everybody.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
All right. I know you like him, and you think he's going to be good.
I think he's going to be very good,
Do you think he's elite level QB in the NFL?
I was not a huge Trevor Lawrence guy. And people said Trevor Lawrence was generational. I told Suk, I think he's really good at everything. He's not great at anything. I liked Joe Burrow better in terms of guys that have come out in recent years. Beyond that, Caleb Williams is a fantastic quarterback prospect. They don't get much better than him. He has not thrown an interception on third and fourth down in his entire USC career. In the red zone for his entire college career, he's had 61 touchdowns and one interception. That one interception was a miscommunication on a back shoulder throw to Jordan Addison. Other than that, he has no interceptions in the red zone in his career. You do worry about the fumbles in his career, 33 fumbles, 16 last year. But when you look at Caleb Williams, when was the last time, probably Trevor Lawrence, that a year ago we went, this is the guy that's going to be number one next year? And that's what we were saying. Last year, we all said Caleb Williams is going to be the number one pick last year. And through his ups and downs at USC, we go through an entire year. There was never a debate. He was minus 800 or something to be the number one pick this time last year. It never dipped below minus 500, 600. He's been the guy, and for very good reason.
Are the Bears back? Is he that good?
Here's the thing. The Bears won, I believe, seven games last year. They have a lot of draft capital. If you just give them an average quarterback with the upgrades they made this offseason, they could very easily, as Suk pointed out earlier in the show, they could very easily be this year's Texans. A Super Bowl contender? No. A playoff team? Absolutely. In fact, I don't necessarily think that's a bad bet if you love Caleb Williams to put a little cash on Bears to make the playoffs. I don't know what it is. But I do think this team, if they get average quarterback play, they're not that far away. I'm worried about the Vikings. The Packers are good, but Jordan Love now has film, and teams are going to watch him and start taking away some of what he does, and it's going to get harder for him. So the runway is there in the NFC North, potentially, for the Bears to be a wild card type of team, or a wild card round type of team.
And the one knock on Williams is that he plays off schedule and that he kind of runs around. And in Chicago, with their new OC, Shane Waldron, and you look at kind of his background, he wants to run a Shanahan-McVay type system, which is predicated on run the ball, play action pass, get the ball out of your hands, and you look at what they've built. They've got a rebuilt offensive line. They have two very good receivers. They went out and got DeAndre Swift. They have a good tight end.
Cole Kmet,
the big kid out of Notre Dame. So you look at their offense, and much like what they did with C.J. Stroud, this is going to be run the ball, play action, get the ball out of your hands, a quarterback-friendly system. It is set up for Caleb Williams to maybe be protected from the one thing that people want to pick him apart. I do. I think this could be a really, really good fit in Chicago. I think they're going to surprise some people and be this. That's what I said. I think they're this Houston Texans. This, to me, is a 10 or 11-win team if Williams is anywhere near what we think he can be.
And the difference right now between them and the next two teams picking, the Washington Commanders and the New England Patriots, who are very likely to also take quarterbacks, what we've seen the last few years is when you build the infrastructure and then insert the quarterback, those guys often have quite a bit of success. And the Bears should be commended for stockpiling draft capital, getting themselves in a position to get this type of pick. And now you look at their weapons, it looks like a fantasy football lineup. It's DeAndre Swift and Khalil Herbert, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet. Those are weapons,
man. You got your right tackle. You had an offensive lineman to this group, maybe another receiver if they want to go down that road. I think they're going to spend that next pick if they don't trade down on another O-lineman. I'm telling you, this thing is built up to be good right now. And I know people are like, oh, it's the Bears. And all of a sudden, we love to hate on Caleb Williams. This is a really good spot.
And we throw around generational too often, just in the sense that generation literally means once in a generation. That can't be once every 3 years. But I do think Caleb Williams is once in a cycle, in a four-year cycle. He is a once-in-a-four-year cycle quarterback. And I do think those guys sometimes miss. But there's a lot to like about Caleb Williams, and there's a reason that through all of this, even when people love to make up rumors that there are red flags and there are question marks, the biggest hit on him is that he cried and he paints his nails. The dude's a really good – and the reason for that is when you watch the film, there's not a lot to poke holes in. You have to do the painted nails thing because you can't really criticize much else. He's a very complete player. And the other thing I like about him that people don't realize, he actually grew up playing running back and linebacker. He can take a hit. So he's not the biggest dude in the world at 6'1", 215. And he doesn't always just want to deliver that shot. But he is used to physical football and delivering and taking hits. And I do think that will help him and serve him well in the league when we compare him to a guy like Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I've seen several interviews with him, and he seems really sharp. Like there at some point, maybe during the Heisman season, he kind of got this reputation of being a little, I don't know, maybe a diva of sorts. But everything I've seen with him, he's kind of punted that right out the front door. Like, it doesn't seem like that sticks to him. And he's been, because wasn't there always talk too that he wasn't even going to play in Chicago and his dad's involved and it's just a mess? He's been great.
But again,
what I've seen,
in my opinion, we have to do the part that you hate about the draft. We have to have narratives about guys, right? We have to say this guy could be a bust. There wasn't much to say on film. So it became a character thing, because there was nothing else. There was no, man, he's really bad on third down. He wasn't. He never threw a pick on third and fourth down in his USC career. You can't say he's bad in the red zone. He's phenomenal in the red zone. You can't say he doesn't have a big arm. So it had to be, and the biggest knock I've heard on him is he wants to be a brand. Tom Brady didn't want to be a brand? I mean, who cares? Mannings aren't a brand?
My only knock on him is I don't love how much he plays off schedule, and some of that may be because at USC and that line, and it just maybe he had to be, and he tried to be the hero in every play. That's my knock on him. But I will say that, and I hate this comparison because you're talking about one of the best to ever do it, his off-platform stuff to me is the only person that I've seen, and again, it's only been 5 or 6 years, it's the only person that I would say compares to Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the best off platform, but I mean platform is 3, 5 step, 7 step, back foot into the ground throw. I'm talking about where you see the baseball style, the side-armed, the feet aren't good. no one does it better than Mahomes other than Caleb Williams.
2024 NFL Draft. The Washington Commanders select Jaden Daniels, quarterback, LSU.
Again, what a season he had. Combined rushing and passing over 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. He won the Heisman, the Walter Camp, the Unitas, the O'Brien, and Manning Awards, and was the AP College Football Player of the Year. You mentioned that he started at Arizona State, started three seasons there, two in Baton Rouge. So he's 23 years old with lots of experience. The frame, Lewis, is what everyone talked about.
All right, that's, by the way, that's Mike Greenberg.
Yeah.
He sounds...
It sounds odd.
Ancient.
Yeah.
Is he 85 years old?
No, I don't think so. But chalk so far. I mean, 1-2, zero surprises.
Yeah, we knew this. Yeah. But and you said earlier in the show, but worth repeating for new listeners who are just tuning in, Andrew Nemec is here with us today. And tomorrow, by the way, to cover the draft. You know, you're not high on Jaden Daniels.
No, and there's some stuff to like. I mean, 12,000 yards passing, 3,000 yards rushing in his career, the first player to ever do that in college football. In a clean pocket, he has a passer rating of 146.2. That's phenomenal. When he's under pressure and he does throw, his passer rating is 123.4. That's second only behind Bo Nix. Those are the things to like. The rest I'm really concerned about. He... And Robert Mays said this and put this beautifully from The Athletic. It's weird to watch his highlights and also take away from it, and everyone says the same thing. He is the least creative quarterback in this draft. He's going to throw to his first read, or he's going to run. If he does almost anything else, we've got an issue. He completed 70% of his passes accurately on his first read. Once he gets to his second read, his accuracy number drops to 40%. Oof. That is awful. The other issue, under pressure, for an example, Michael Penix under pressure threw the ball 71% of the time to a receiver, not threw it away. Daniels is at 36%. Only a third of the time that he's pressured does he throw to a receiver. Everything else is take a sack, run, or throw the ball away. That's really concerning because the NFL's going to heat you up. They're going to heat you up. And when they do, so far, Jaden Daniels a quarter of the time takes a sack, a third of the time he runs, a third of the time he tries to throw, and everything else is
And when he does get hit, you watch his tape. When he runs and he gets hit, he takes bigger hits than just about anyone I've seen.
It looks like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
And he has said that he is not going to change the way he plays. Is that what did he say? God's got me?
So that's the combine.
Yeah, but can't the coaches get him to...
I certainly hope so.
Understand.
So
by the way...
He's not good on his first read. He's bad on his second read. And his over-the-middle numbers are horrendous.
Do you like...
He cannot throw over the middle.
Do you like the idea that he's with Cliff Kingsbury? Because that's the OC in Washington.
No.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was good or bad.
I think that's bad. I am not a big Cliff Kingsbury guy. So I just don't get this. And I was talking to Suk about this, and this has been brought up by a number of people. He is not like Lamar Jackson, because Lamar Jackson is really good at feeling out the pocket, creating time, and throwing off platform. Jaden Daniels has an average arm, and he ran to throw. In other words, he ran to create time and threw off platform. Less, about half as much as Michael Penix, who is practically a statue as a thrower. So Jaden Daniels, as athletic as he is, he does not throw off platform, and he can't because he has a very average arm. All of that said, he's an electric athlete, and if he does figure it out, he's got a chance to be very good. But the tools are really concerning. He doesn't read the field well, and he is not a decisive thrower.
It's scary that when your weaknesses are things that in the NFL really hamper you, that's a big concern.
I don't like to throw when I'm pressured. I don't like to throw over the middle, and I don't like to slide. I love to take a hit, and oh yeah, by the way, I'm roughly 180
pounds. And I've said it so many times over the last handful of months. The NFL game really right now is about controlling the middle of the field, and it's where defenses are vulnerable. Defenses are making you go over the middle, and you know, we'll see if he can adjust. Because there are weapons there in Washington. That's not a bad roster. He's got some guys to throw to. There's some pieces around him. They went and got Austin Eckler to be in their backfield as well. So it's not like he's going to a completely barren situation.
And when you look at it, he's not like Lamar Jackson, who he's a lot like in the way he plays and in his flaws and his strengths, was Justin Fields. Except Fields was bigger. Fields was a more dynamic runner. And Fields had a much bigger arm. But they're very similar numbers in when I throw to my first receiver, I'm highly successful. When I go to my second receiver, I'm in a little bit of trouble. And also, I like to run way too much. That's his profile. He's almost a carbon copy, except he's much, much, much thinner.
I don't see a poor man's Justin Fields being a ringing endorsement for Jaden Daniels.
Our draft gnome is not high on him.
We'll see. Bears, Caleb Williams. Commanders, Jaden Daniels. We're going to keep it here because the Patriots pick is in. They're about to reveal that. Fourth pick goes to Arizona, who is currently on the clock. Fifth, Chargers. Sixth, Giants. Seventh, Titans. You're listening to live coverage of the NFL draft here with Isaac Suk and Andrew Nimick, the draft gnome.
Yes. Now, most people think that this is going to be a stick and pick here, that they're not going to trade. This is going to be Drake May. Your thoughts on Drake May? Because I haven't seen enough of Drake May.
Hold on, everybody.
Okay. With the third pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the New England Patriots select Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina.
One, two, three.
So, yeah, it's the fourth draft since 1967 where we've had a quarterback go 1-2-3.
Now it gets interesting at 4-5. Yeah. Do we see more quarterbacks? Do we see trades?
Right.
You know, what happens? But your thoughts real quick before we break on May, because I honestly haven't seen enough of Drake May to where I feel comfortable, you know, giving it. He reminds me a little of the Justin Herbert where maybe there's it leaves something to be desired when you watch him, but people say the upside is just enormous.
Well, he is kind of in that mold of Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. He's that big, prototypical quarterback who runs well, who has tremendous arm strength, who can throw off platform. As you see, he's 6'4", 230 pounds. He's not super accurate right now. His mechanics need work. There are issues there. He's pretty raw. In fact, I think he's the rawest of these high-level quarterbacks. But when you compare his film at his age, and I believe he's 21, he might be 22, to Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels from that same age, there's no comparison. He has way more tools. He's way better than they were at that age. If you can fix him mechanically, he becomes a little more accurate. Again, very much the Justin Herbert, Josh Allen model. When we're talking tools, he can run. He's got a huge arm. He actually called out protections pre-snap, which a lot of quarterbacks don't do. He didn't have a ton of weapons at North Carolina. People love to talk about Walker, the receiver they have. But he was suspended by the NCAA for most of the season. The rest of his weapons were not very good last year, and he still made some big plays. I like Drake May. There's a lot of boom or bust here. He could end up flaming out the same way that Josh Allen, his first 2 years, was terrible. Well, where is he now? If Drake May figures it out, the ceiling is tremendously high. In fact, I think he has the highest ceiling of any quarterback in this draft, even higher than Caleb Williams, because he's a little bit more instinctual runner and he's much bigger.
So Josh Allen type guy.
That's
top level.
That's what the Patriots are telling themselves. And I'll say this, I think the Patriots know, like, we don't have the roster to support this guy right now. But again, when you look at the next few years of the guys who are going to play quarterback, do you really want to hitch your wagon to Shedeur Sanders as 1-1 with his attitude, the way he is, and the way he plays? Or would you rather get the quarterback a little early and say, yeah, we're going to be bad. So's he. And we'll develop him, and we'll take some time to teach him.
All right, Arizona's on the clock. We'll be back with that pick next. They'll be followed by the Chargers. Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome back. NFL draft coverage. We've got our draft gnome, Andrew Nemec, in here. Big Sooks over there. We had Arizona taking Marvin Harrison Jr. there, the wide receiver out of Ohio State, fourth. Yep. So all chalk.
Yep.
So
no
far.
Upsets. And Marvin Harrison Jr. proving that you don't have to do squat. He didn't run. He didn't interview. He didn't do a pro day. And he's the first non-quarterback off the board.
If his name were not Marvin Harrison Jr., if his name were Steve Jones,
yeah,
do you think he could have gotten away with that? Like, I know he's amazing. Mm. He's a great receiver. But in part, do people go, yeah, his family knows the process. We trust it.
His Biletnikoff Award is one of the worst awards. Like, he was not the best receiver
Neighbors
in football.
Should have got
it. Odunze was better than him. Neighbors was better than him. I'm not blaming him. He had a crappy offense was it Kyle Day, their quarterback that was that his name?
No,
Ryan
Kyle
Day.
McCord?
Kyle McCord.
Yeah.
I know I'm getting their quarterback and the head coach mashup. He's not going to be their quarterback. It's not Marvin Harrison Jr.'s fault. I do think that I have never seen a player so pushed, and some of that has to do with the name. I mean, they're making him out to be Jesus when it comes to wide receivers, and he's great. I don't think the gap between him and Neighbors and Odunze is that great. And I think in today's NFL, I think there's a chance that Neighbors ends up being the better player because operate more in space.
How do you feel in this moment?
I'm just super blessed to be here, really. I mean, like you said, there's a lot of great receivers in this draft class. That's an honor to be first. We got to go and put that work in now.
A career in the NFL was written in your bloodline, but how important is it for you to create your own legacy in this league?
Yeah, I'm just going to try to be my best self, just be the best person, be the best player I can be, and whatever happens, happens from there.
All right, Maserati Marv heading to Arizona. Congratulations.
Look at that crazy, cool medallion he's got on. Yeah.
Well,
that's
pretty
rad.
Again, the pedigree is there. It's just that the only thing that you can criticize him is he has almost no yak. He is not a great after he catches the ball. And again, in today's NFL, when so much cover two, so much rolling over the top, and so many offenses are operating in zone schemes and having to run away from defenders, and it's after the catch, I'm not saying that he's not going to be a great receiver. I think there's an argument to be made that Neighbor's game may be more Tyreek Hill, maybe more suited for today's NFL, and it wouldn't shock me, at least early on, if Neighbors doesn't have a bigger impact.
There was a number of guys like this in this draft, where the mock draft guys are the people that talked to teams in terms of reporting rumor. There's going to be trades, this, that kind of thing, said Marvin Harrison Jr. is clearly number one. And then guys that I listened to and simply do their own analysis and rankings said, and Daniel Jeremiah was part of this, Dane Brugler was part of this, said most teams that we talk to and our own rankings, Neighbors is higher than Harrison Jr. So, and even some people said Odunze might be right there with Harrison Jr. Harrison Jr. is really good, and I think he has the highest ceiling of any, or highest floor, excuse me, of any player in this draft. I cannot see a scenario with as big as he is, with as physical as he is, I can't see a scenario where he's not at least a pretty good receiver. I don't know if he's ever going to have the Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase seasons. He might. But I think there's almost no scenario where we look at 5 years and go, man, Marvin Harrison Jr. is terrible. That's not happening. He's going to be good. How good is the question? And probably very good. These three receivers are number one in almost every draft for the last several years.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who he's opposite in Arizona. Who's on the other side for Arizona?
Greg Dortch, baby.
Who?
They don't. Greg Dortch, the Dortchmeister. You serious?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I'm just.
I'm 100%. I mean,
they don't have.
They
that's,
don't.
That's the thing. That's they why had to go receiver, and they might go. If I were them with Kyler Murray, I would dip in again in a deep receiver draft, probably in the third or fourth, and just go get Central Florida's Javon Baker. Go get maybe in the second even a Ricky Pearsall. Go get another guy, and you really have a pretty good group because you've got an X now, and you probably have an alpha at X. Get a second receiver because Greg Dortch ain't it.
All right, the Bears take Caleb Williams, number one. Commanders took Jaden Daniels, two. Drake May to the Patriots, three. And now Marvin Harrison Jr. to Arizona, four. Now we turn our attention to the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh is on the clock. Offensive line here?
I'm assuming unless there's a trade, Harbaugh has basically sent up the bat signal saying that he wants to play bully ball, run the ball. So I assume... And I don't think it's necessarily just Joe Alt. I think some of that is just the media saying, "Oh, it has to be Alt." Unless they trade out, I would be shocked if this isn't an offensive lineman, whether it's Alt or whether it's Latham or whoever.
The weird thing with Latham, and you look at the difference between the two. So Joe Alt against in a gap scheme, his run blocking grade is an 83.
Yeah.
J.C. Latham's only thing that he wasn't great at, he grades out in PFF as a 66. As a gap scheme run blocker. He's not the big bully. He looks like he should be at 360. He just isn't. He's a good pass blocker, and he's really good in zone blocking schemes. But if you're looking for that just mash-em-up guy, Joe Alt grades out as the better player for that. I agree with you. I don't think Joe Alt is so head and shoulders above every other offensive lineman in this draft. But if you're comparing the two for what the Chargers do, to me, Alt makes more sense, especially when don't they have Rashawn Slater?
Yeah.
Who's a really good tackle, but you put Joe Alt on the left side, Slater's on the right, Latham's a right. And doesn't Slater play a lot of right tackle?
Yeah, I think he actually can play both.
Or does
both.
He play both?
I'd have to...
Because Joe Alt, you can just plug and play left tackle.
Yeah.
And J.C. Latham has been a right tackle primarily. Or even a guard.
I would like to report to the people that this scuttlebutt about Roger Goodell having back surgery and not being able to bro hug these guys.
He's doing all the hugging.
False, fake news.
I knew it.
He's doing the big slap bro hug.
What if he's just popping Vicodin between every pick?
It's all high.
Just like, oh, I got to meet Eminem. Life is good. You guys see Barry Sanders? He looks like a fat PE teacher. And he's just like a mess backstage. All right, you have to announce the picks, man. Mariota!
And they do have Slater as their left tackle.
Oh,
I know he came in as right.
He was a right.
But he is their left tackle.
So he could potentially slide back.
Come on, everybody.
Tagovailoa. With the fifth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Chargers select Joe Alt, tackle. Notre Dame.
We on the board, gentlemen.
All right. Well,
chalk.
It's not sexy, but prudent.
And you knew that's where he went.
Look at the old family, so fired up. Look at the sister.
He is an enormous human being.
God, he looks enormous.
He is just.
What'd you say, 360?
6'8 and 5'8, 330 pounds. J.C. Latham is 360.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And his dad played, as they're showing, he played for the Chiefs.
Yep. Yeah. So a good pedigree there, and this is, it makes sense. If it wasn't a trade, it was an O-lineman, and, to your point there, when you're saying if the scheme fit, Alt better than Latham.
Giants on the clock.
And the other big thing here, Latham, 16 penalties the last 2 years. Mm. Joe Alt, 3. A very clean prospect.
What do we think the Giants are looking at before we break?
I mean, if it were me, I want no part of Daniel Jones in my future. Yeah. And I know J.J. McCarthy. I don't love J.J. McCarthy. I really don't. I would take Penix. I like Penix a lot. I think you have to, in modern NFL football, get the heck away from guys like Daniel Jones. You're paying him too much money to be below average. I would go quarterback here. Or get him some help and go get Adunze or Neighbors.
All right, Giants pick next. We'll be right back, 548 on The Fan.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, welcome back. Covering the NFL draft here. Quick recap, if you're just tuning in, Caleb Williams, number one to the Bears. No shock there. Also, not a shocker, the Commanders took Jaden Daniels, number two. Patriots, many thought, would trade out of the number three, or could trade out of the number three spot, but they did not. They took Drake May, the quarterback from North Carolina. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals at four. Joe Alt, the tackle from Notre Dame, to the Chargers at five. And moments ago, while we were away, Malik Nabers, the wide receiver Nemec, you like a lot, the LSU kid, he goes to the Giants at number six.
So far, the only surprise in this draft is that we didn't see a trade from there was some belief that the Chargers and the Giants would be willing to trade out if someone wanted to move up.
Or the Cardinals.
Or the Cardinals, yeah.
Yeah, this, I mean, it's been incredibly chalky. I think you and I talked, and I felt very strongly that the quarterbacks were a little inflated, that they would go 1-2-3, McCarthy would not go 4. And we'll probably get to him today, I would guess. I think he's a first-rounder still. But that McCarthy's going to go 2, everybody's in love with McCarthy. I think Harbaugh threw it out that he was the second-best quarterback or the best quarterback in this draft, and the league went, okay, he's our Will Levis, he's our sacrificial lamb. Everyone leaked that he's the dude, and so far no one's making any big push to make him a dude. And now we've seen, you know, the Giants wanted to move out, the Chargers kind of begged to move out, and nobody took their spot.
So how many more quarterbacks do you think we see today?
One.
Just him?
I think Penix.
Oh, just Penix. Okay.
I think just Penix.
Maybe the Seahawks?
Maybe.
Huh?
And maybe huh? Two. It would shock me if McCarthy, Penix, and Nix all good. That's just a lot of quarterbacks. Yeah. It's just a lot of quarterbacks.
Well, Tennessee's not going to take one. Atlanta's not going to take one. The Bears aren't going to take one. The Jets aren't going to take one. And so 11 at Minnesota, unless there's some trades,
should sit okay.
Minnesota at 11 and Denver at 12. And maybe they're looking at that and saying, hey, if no one's willing to pay the price to move up, maybe we can just stay. Mm. The idea was, if you were Minnesota or Denver and you wanted your guy, you were going to have to move up. Well,
maybe not.
Maybe not, because right now there's no one ahead of them that will draft a quarterback.
So I have a question. I like Joe Alt. No shots fired here whatsoever at Joe Alt. But if you're the Chargers, and Jim Harbaugh likes to run the ball. He's gritty. I get it. Yeah. Cool. They lost Mike Williams. Mm-hmm. They lost Keenan Allen. They have Justin Herbert. Who is his receiver?
They don't.
I mean, and now they have two really good left tackles. And Slater can play right.
They'll move one of them, obviously.
So you've got two great tackles and no receivers. Well, they need to get receiver.
It's the first round.
They need to get receiver on day two and day three. Yeah. And probably
they
two
will.
Or three of them.
They will.
And they'll be okay.
Nabers, compare him to somebody. Malik Nabers.
It feels like jersey scouting, but there's a lot of Ja'Marr Chase in what he does. There's some Tyreek Hill in what he does. He's blazing fast. He runs really good routes. He's got great hands. He's an absolute playmaker. He does things. People have watched multiple. I did the same thing, watching his highlights. He has moments where you're like, as they cut to different highlights, did they speed that up? Like, the way he gets out of a break so fast is like, did they do some editing here to cut it to make it look like he's smoother or faster than he's unbelievable. And Bruce Feldman had him on his freaks list, not just for his speed, but for his change of direction. Malik Nabers is an absolute freak, and he doesn't necessarily have to beat you deep. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. And in an NFL that's now going too high, he's going to be a receptions magnet, and he's going to have a whole lot of yak, I think, in the NFL.
And the Giants, they have Waller, correct? And I don't know who
Waller
else
may
they
retire.
I think he's retired.
Is he done?
I think he may have announced his retirement.
Well, I mean,
he's announced his retirement from his marriage. I'll tell you that. Right.
Well, they you talk about the Giants. They got Hyatt, the kid out of Tennessee who's young. They got Darius Slayton.
Oh, Jalen Hyatt.
Their team slot receiver.
Yeah,
they have like five slot receivers.
Yeah, Hodgins is still there. Who's you know
Wandale Robinson, Darius Slayton, Isaiah McKenzie. Oregon State Beaver legend Isaiah Hodgins.
But Neighbors should come in immediately and be
their guy.
And be their guy. He'll be receiver one.
I'm going to keep it here, Buck, because it looks like the Titans pick is in. We'll get that in, and then we'll move on. But
this should be a no lineman, by the way. If you're the Titans, I would.
Ah, well, that's boring.
I know, but it should be. It's their biggest need.
Ben Solak of The Ringer just tweeted, if no one did any research at all, we would all go 6-for-6 in our mock drafts to start.
Yeah.
This is literally like the chalkiest, exactly what people thought would happen for the first six
picks. And if this is Latham,
for months,
then we just...
That's our first semi-surprise.
The only one that I could see here is because they need offensive line and they need defensive line help. Is there a chance that they go ballsy enough here to go Byron Murphy?
Or one of the edges?
Or is this too early for one of them?
It sounds like, you know, Brugler and Jeremiah, I think, do the best job. And they said within the last 48 hours that the biggest scuttlebutt week of and the guy they wish they would have invested more stock in is Byron Murphy. That's the guy the league loves way more than everybody else. So if we're talking about, well, he could go at 8. Is it that crazy to say he maybe goes at 7? Yeah. No, not really. Yeah. This doesn't seem like the move. They need a tackle. I could see him going Fuaga. I could see him going Olufashinu, the mini hand giant.
Well, it's funny because he's the kid out of Penn State, and coming into this year, people said, again, like, this is how generational prospect, best O-lineman, and now on some people's boards, you see him as the fourth best tackle.
His pass blocking is the best in this draft. He is so fluid. We talk about, like, good feet, good hands, good hip. He is absolutely the epitome of a dancing bear. I mean, there are people who say he might be the best pass blocker, pure pass blocker, to come out in, like, a decade.
But they don't love the run game.
He's soft.
Yeah.
I mean, he grades out just barely above an average college lineman in the run game, and he has 8.5-inch hands. Joe Alt's got 10.5.
Hey, I know. I have 8.5-inch hands. Stop it.
Little hands tend not to be a great sign for an offensive lineman.
Damn it.
And he's not a bully. In the run game, he's kind of happy to play patty cake. In pass pro, he not only mirrors, but he's so quick that before guys can even finish the move, he's there and beats them and turns them. He's an unbelievable pass blocker, but he's not great against the run.
I'll tell you what, guys, I'm loving this terminology. Dancing bear, you know.
Baby hands, baby nuts.
Could you be a dancing bear with oily hips?
I mean, I think you have to have oily hips to be a dancing bear.
That's fantastic.
That's kind of where we're at.
That's the first time I've heard that, dancing bear. Has that been a long time?
That's
a long time draft term.
Big dudes that are light on their feet are dancing bears.
This is the first spot, by the way, that we could see a local tie. If they go tackle, there are teams that really love Talise Fuanga.
Yeah.
And by the way, I know it is spelled Fuaga. There's a silent N just like Tua Tango Vailoa. It is Fuanga.
Oh, really? I would say Fuaga.
It's not Fuaga.
Oh.
It's Fuanga.
It's Fuanga.
Fuanga.
Like, awesome. 100%. And the Oregon State site says it's pronounced Fuaga. And he then did an interview, I think it was at the Combine, where he's like, I didn't feel like explaining it. I was young. It's Fuanga.
Oh, well, now I feel bad. Love him as a right tackle. I don't think he's athletic enough to be a left tackle necessarily, but I think he is an elite right tackle in this league. And by the way, the whole left tackle thing, more and more teams are coming around to the notion that it's not just about the left tackle. Right tackles are getting paid too. See Penei Sewell.
And Fuanga could also, if in a pinch, be a way overqualified guard.
Move inside.
He's really,
because he's a big physical mauler.
Really big. And his run blocking stuff is,
hold on,
is
everybody,
with the seventh pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select J.C. Latham, tackle, Alabama.
Chalk.
Hey, the ladies like it.
And I broke even.
All right, yeah.
Everything else is gravy.
More chalk.
Yeah.
Okay, Titans.
Now, this is not chalk from a week ago.
No.
There were folks who thought Latham was going to go in the 20s,
yeah.
And Latham has some issues. He had 7 false starts in the last 2 years, and a lot of that is he gets beat around the edge a lot. He's 360, and sometimes it shows. He has a little bit of a hard time getting out and turning, so he false starts because he doesn't trust himself to get out there.
He struggled against some of the stunts that Michigan were bringing when they were running some of their twisting games. He struggled a little bit in that game, but what do we say about this draft? Quarterbacks, O-linemen, and receivers. And what have we seen? First 8 picks, Quarterbacks, O-linemen, receivers.
J.C. Latham has the most penalties over the last 2 years of, I believe, any offensive lineman projected to go in the first 2 days. He gets a lot. There's a lot of penalties.
All right, that's Andrew Nemec, our draft gnome, in with us. He'll be here tomorrow as well. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Falcons...
should be a first defensive player. If the Falcons don't go defense, I don't know that... Defense.
The first possible Byron Murphy spot. They could go corner. They could go edge. Yeah. They almost have to. Unless you want to go hyper luxury and go Roma Dunze, Kyle Pitts. Ooh. And then you have three guys that are all kind of the same. Stretch the field, vertical, big guys. We'll see.
All right. So it gets pretty good here. Falcons picking next at 8. Bears, Jets, Vikings after that. More NFL draft coverage coming up next on The Fan.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.